Thank you so much for listening to The Mesa and supporting the work that we're continuing to do on the West Mesa murders. If you like the podcast and want to support us even further, there are two ways that you can do that. The first is by subscribing to our podcast wherever you get your podcast so that you get the newest episodes at the exact time that they're available. And please make sure to leave us a 5-star review because that helps other people discover this podcast. The second is by going to our page at patreon.com. There are several levels that you can subscribe to, and subscription gives you access to exclusive content not made public anywhere else. We'll be posting extended interviews, key documents, and other information pertaining to this case. We love our listeners, and we want to continue to make great content. You can help us do that. Go to patreon.com/themesa and become a patron today.
I look at this piece of paper, and it is just like a string of mugshots of all of these young women. She says, you know, they're all missing. I just remember looking at this and being floored that, I mean, maybe if it had been one or two people, I would have just been like, okay, one or two missing people. But this was like, you know, 10. I kept going through this file, 10, 15 pictures of a dozen missing women. And I knew that I just had to report about it.
Nearly a decade after police uncovered one of the city's biggest mysteries, in 2009, a woman walking her dog near today's scene at 118th Street and Dennis Chavis found a bone.
The mystery of the West Mesa women now officially stretches into a second decade. Community members held a ceremony this week to honor the 11 women and one unborn baby found buried in a mass grave on the west side of the city exactly 10 years ago.
It's never been cold. It's never something that's been put up on the shelf.
I believe there's more women up there.
Between 2001 and 2006, an alarming number, at least an alarming number to those who were paying attention, of women were going missing from the streets of Albuquerque. There were at least 17 women estimated to have gone missing during that time period. In 2009, the remains of 11 women and one child were found on the mesa to the west of the city limits. No arrests have ever been made, and only a handful of persons of interest have ever been named. It is the largest unsolved murder case in New Mexico. It is also the work of a serial killer. Many believe that there are still remains of at least 6 women somewhere on the mesa. My name is Tierna Unruh-Enos. I'm a local journalist in Albuquerque who's followed and worked on the case of the West Mesa murders in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In 2007, Maggie Shepherd was a reporter for the Pulitzer Prize-winning Albuquerque Tribune, a now-defunct daily newspaper that covered the Albuquerque metro area. Her beat was cops and crime for the west side of Albuquerque. She had an idea to do a ride-along with Albuquerque police detectives as they covered an area along Central Avenue, which is the old Route 66 highway running as a major traffic vein through Albuquerque. On August 8, 2007, Maggie's ride-along with Albuquerque police missing persons detective Ida Lopez turned into a front-page headline titled, "The Missing."
So no one came to me. It wasn't something that was being pitched from PR folks or public information folks. I happened to have gone on a ride-along with some of the vice officers because I was interested in how they were doing their moral policing work. And I had just had a baby. I had a couple month old baby, and it's one of the first stories I had picked up when I went back to work. And I did a few ride-alongs, and at one point they put me with Ida Lopez, who was working missing persons at that point. And I was in her cruiser, and we were at Central in Wyoming, which is an intersection in our town that is just notorious for crime and drugs and prostitution. Those intersections kind of float around every once in a while, but this one has stayed pretty steady over the last 3 or 4 decades at least, if not more. In fact, at one point in this ride along, one of the vice detectives said, "Gosh, I wish we could just nuke this intersection. You know, there's a little bit of flavor of some of the policing personality at that time, not across the board, because in the car with Ida Lopez, it was a very different scenario. It's a very short woman, Hispanic, very beautiful woman, black hair, very petite, but very powerful presence, very kind of fierce. We were just kind of cruising along, and it's been so long, I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened, but at one point, we start talking about what she's seeing and, you know, what she does, and she opens her glove box, and I can't remember if it was in her glove box or in her back seat, but it's somehow she hands me this piece of paper that she has created on her own, and she says, you know, look, this, these are my girls. And she calls them my girls, and I can remember that very clearly. And I just knew then, my like little spidey senses went up, because reporters often have this feeling when you hit upon a really important story, I'm sure you felt it, where you're like, oh shit, I have to tell this. This is yeah. something I have to chase. And then my mind just got absorbed by this. And so she and I had this conversation about what was going on, what she thought was happening. And I knew that I just had to report about it.
I remember walking into a grocery store, actually, and seeing your story about it, and it was front page news, and at the time, it was my job to help come up with story ideas each day for the reporters, or just know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought that in to our afternoon meeting, that paper, and I was like, guys, this is a big deal. Does anybody know about this? Like, look at all these girls that are missing. We should be doing this. Why aren't we doing this? And when you saw that they started finding the bones on the West Mesa and they started identifying some of the girls, like, one by one, what was your first thought?
So at that time, I was pregnant with my second child and had been hired as a temporary legislative reporter for the Associated Press. So I was up in Santa Fe, which is about an hour north of Albuquerque, and was like big and pregnant, walking around doing legislative stuff. And one day on the way, I stopped. I couldn't go up to Santa Fe that day. I just said, and I told my colleagues at that point, like, this is a story that I remember this. I remember these women. And having kind of been the only reporter who had worked that, I was in a really unique position to have access to the detectives who had been working on that, and started calling sources, and we went out to the site, and we went out to press conferences that were happening, and we just started working, and it was surreal. It was really surreal. And in the middle of it, in the middle of all of that, I was thinking about the girl who had kind of become the centerpiece of my original reporting. Her name was Leah Peebles.
Yeah.
And kept in contact with over the years somewhat, but
were
not
they
intimately.
Worried that she was out there?
Sure. And we kind of went through this together and checked with each other, the father who has since passed away. You know, and he was, as he has been for the previous years, holding his breath, waiting to see if maybe he'd finally get an answer to where his kiddo was.
Do you know if Leah was ever found?
She was not.
Of the missing 17 women on Ida Lopez's list, 8 of them were found on the Mesa in 2009. The other 9 are still considered missing according to the New Mexico Department of Public Safety's Missing Persons Database. Those still missing are Darlene Trujillo, who was reported missing in Albuquerque in 2001 when she was 27 years old. Chantel Waits, who was last seen March 13, 2006 when she was 29 years old. Leah Peebles from Tucson, Arizona, who was reported missing in Albuquerque on May 22, 2006. Nina Herone, who was last seen May 14, 2005 and was reported missing by her mother. She was 21 years old. And 20-year-old Anna V. Hill, who was reported missing in Albuquerque on January 20th, 2005. Felipa Gonzalez was 22 years old when she was reported missing in Albuquerque on April 27th, 2005.
There wasn't, at that time, any sense, and I would say my senses were pretty accurate, any sense that there was a promotion of this idea. It was my sense that was the very first time that Ida had talked to a reporter about that. You'd have to verify that with her, but was the first time that I was asking questions at the police department. That was the first time they talked about it. They had to kind of like, I remember talking with Trish Hoffman, who was the PIO at the time. She kind of like helped me organize a meeting in her office. You know, she had intention. She was doing her own little thing. And there's a lot of suspicion between cops and reporters. That is not a friendly relationship. So it doesn't surprise me that Ida would kind of keep, she's dealing with the Delica population. She's dealing with cops on her vice unit or her squad who would rather just nuke that corner, you know? You've got a lone female, small officer, might just not be thinking, gosh, I could probably get some more attention if I go to the media. That's a different type of thought.
It should be noted that we reached out to Ida Lopez in an attempt to interview her and why she collected these list of girls back in 2007. And Ida has declined to be interviewed. That is not her role currently in the investigation. She had listened to the podcast and she was thankful that we were directing people towards the Crime Stoppers tip line. So we asked APD Lieutenant Scott Norris why they kept Ida on the task force still and what her role had been in the past with the investigation.
And a big reason why we needed to retain Ida is because she was really, I don't want to say the one who got this whole thing going, but she's the one who just kind of inserted herself into this thing so deeply that she has so much institutional knowledge, not only of how the department works, how investigations work, but she just has a lot of intimate knowledge with regard to the victims, their families, you know, and to let her go and let that knowledge go, it would be really irresponsible of us.
In February of 2006, while covering the death of Lorenzo Montoya, who we'll be covering extensively in future episodes, reporters T.J. Wilhelm and Jeff Proctor from the Albuquerque Journal, which is the other daily newspaper serving the metro area, briefly wrote in their article that former Albuquerque Police Chief Ray Schultz told the reporters that they were investigating whether Montoya had any connection to several prostitutes who had been reported missing since 2001. This means in 2006, before Ida Lopez spoke with Maggie Shepherd about her girls, Albuquerque police were aware that an unusual number of women were missing in a very short time period. And if they knew, why hadn't they spoken publicly to the media about it, other than to mention it after the death of Lorenzo Montoya? Why wasn't an alert sounded? How was Ida Lopez the sole detective combing the streets for these women, building files and actively trying to find out what happened to them? Was Ida already searching the streets for their killer long before their bones were found?
Do you feel that there are more victims out on the Mesa?
Well, we know, obviously, we know that there are six more. Now, where they are, that's the question. So as soon as, you know, I keep referring back to how technology has helped us and kind of how we're staying on top of it. You know, a lot of the things that we are doing, and like I said, this investigation is very active. We obviously don't, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but a lot of the things that we're doing within this investigation, not everything we do, we obviously have a media release on,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But as early as, or as recent, sorry, as December, we were actually out on the West Mesa because we'd received a tip with some, basically some sand that looked maybe foreign to the West Mesa, and it just didn't kind of look right. Mm-hmm. So we have some technology, and I'm going to have to refer kind of back to my notes here just because I don't want to misquote. Because we had, I believe that we saw four particular spaces that were like, that's weird.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So we actually had ground penetrating radar out there as mm-hmm. recent as December mm-hmm. to kind of help us determine whether or not, hey, is this... So
it was nothing.
You know, but the other thing that we're doing too is just to kind of stay on top of it, because obviously you find 11 people out on the West Mesa. So our detectives are in, you know how the West Mesa is developed. You live in Albuquerque, you live in New Mexico, you know how the West Mesa is developing, and it's just growing exponentially. But what our detectives are doing, and they're doing a really good job of, is they are in very, very consistent contact with the contractors out there, and basically have told the contractors and have that dialogue with them that, hey, if you find anything that's not, that is something that's weird or even looks weird, you need to give us a call. So we're staying on top of that. And unfortunately, That's the only way that we kind of find things sometimes is people stumble upon it. That's how this whole case got broken open.
Right,
people
stumble
upon it, you know?
I mean, how easy would it have been for any one of these developments to just be built over top of something?
Yeah.
Very easily. As long as it's an active crime scene, that area from you guys, they can't develop that.
Yeah, if it's an active crime scene,
yeah.
Absolutely they can develop. But it's not really necessarily an active crime. It's an active investigation.
Sure.
But that is no longer, as of right now, an active crime scene. It would have become an active crime scene had the ground-penetrating radar, you know, found something.
Everything we know about the lives of the women found on the West Mesa leading up to their death, when and how they were killed, is a blank space. On the missing persons report, for many, the report was filled out weeks or months after family or friends had last seen them. And then, even further, is the date that they were actually killed. Law enforcement has issued a specific year in which the women were killed, but it's much harder to pinpoint an exact date. Trying to fill in those blank spaces might just be where the answers to who the killer is. Did the women on the West Mesa know their killer? Was it someone who spent time on the streets where Ida was searching? Speculations abound about who the killer might be, whether or not he was already on the police radar, or whether it was someone who had intimate knowledge of the women and the West Mesa itself. Next time on The Mesa. The Mesa is a production of Periodista Productions and is produced by myself, with special thanks to Shadi Al-Rusan, Carolyn Carlson, and countless others. If you have any information about the West Mesa murders, please call the 118th Street Task Force at 1-877-765-8273. You can remain anonymous.